When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Love, love, love. Baby, I love you. I need you here with me all the time.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm super.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm very good.
But even more importantly, how are you out there?
Oh, my God.
Now pretend like you can hear what they're saying. Huh? What? You're frustrated? You're angry? You're mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore. Me too. How about you, Janice?
Yeah, I've had some ups and downs for sure.
Yeah. I thought maybe we should go back to basics today. What do you think? We haven't talked about fitness in forever.
Okay. I'm ready for that.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
You feel prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what made me think about it. A little while back, I got to train Rachel Ray. Which was fun for me because I love her and she has always avoided me like a plague when it comes to that. And here's a girl she's actually super fit. She likes to run and all of this. So I get her into the gym and I have her do a lunge and I was just horrified. I mean, you know, the worst form possible. And she's saying that her knees hurt and her feet hurt. And I was like, well, buddy, I mean, of course they do. Your form is atrocious. So I thought
don't hold
it
back.
Was. What do you want me to say?
No,
look,
just...
she ripped me a new one in the kitchen. I'm entitled
okay.
to definitely right. let her know that there was room for improvement with this stuff. And even though I've always kind of shied away from this a little bit because it's nearly impossible to go over a form on a podcast because it's very visual. But I wrote down a few pointers for you guys on the basics that I thought you might be able to take to the gym with you. So let's just start. I want to go over the push-up. I love this move. It is my absolute favorite chest move. And the reason is because it's not just a chest move. The cool thing about a push-up is that it actually works your core a lot because you're having to keep your body completely rigid and straight. Mm-hmm. So let's go over some form. Number one, your butt should not be in the air, okay? Your body position should be totally straight. You should have a totally straight spine. It should be as though you're standing up parallel to the floor, if that makes any sense. You're completely straight. Your butt's not up. Your low back isn't sagging. And you want to keep your tailbone tucked under, okay? And your belly button pulled up in towards your spine so your core is engaged. And your hand position is key. So you want to make sure that your hands are under your chest, not in front of your chest. Because a lot of times I see people try to do push-ups and their hands are just outside of their ears. They're up by their head and then out to the side.
Right.
When you do your push-ups, you want to place your hands directly under your shoulders and then walk them out about 4 inches. So that when you drop into your push-up position, your elbow is over your wrist, not outside of your wrist.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So you want to make a 90-degree angle with your arms when you lower your body down. And the only thing that should move when you do your push-up is your arm position. Your core never moves, your feet never move, your legs never move, just your arm position. That is the only thing. And I want you to inhale on the way down so that you're supporting your lower back with your inhale. And then exhale on the way up. And remember to match your breath to the movement. It makes a really big difference with your form and your balance. And it helps you not forget to breathe. So often when we're exerting ourselves, we hold our breath, which is really bad. You don't want to hold your breath. Your body needs oxygen, particularly when you're working out to, you know, function and not die. So breathe. Now, this one's really simple. It's a bench press. I don't like the bench press as much as I like the push-up, but, and again, it's because the push-up works more muscles at the same time. So you've got low back, you've got quads, you've got abs, you've got shoulders, you've got triceps, you've got chest, but you're not going to throw the bench press out of your fitness regimen. You're probably going to be working it in here and there. So here's what I want you to think about. When you're doing the bench press, you want to line that bar up so that it should be directly over your chest midline. Again, this should not be above your neck. It shouldn't be over your head. It should be, this is embarrassing, but it should be over your nipple.
Bojangles.
Bojangles.
Well, I thought you were searching for a word. Oh, but you didn't want to say nipple.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to say that, but now that you said bojangles, that's just so odd. I feel like just... What happened there? Bojangles.
I don't know. I was going to say bosoms or boobies, but...
Yeah, keep it over those. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. Same exact idea, what you want to do. There are actually several different ways to do a bench press. You can actually keep your hands closer together in their positioning so that the elbows stay at the side. Or you can take them out wider so that your arms make a 90-degree angle as you lower the bar. I don't want the bar to hit you in the chest. Guys do this stuff all the time. It's a dangerous game to play. I like to keep the bar about an inch or two above my chest just so that my upper arm is parallel to the floor. People will go beyond that range of motion. They'll drop their elbows all the way down. To me, this is a little dangerous because you can overstretch your biceps tendon. You could get an injury in your shoulder. You could hit your chest and crack your sternum. Believe it or not, I've actually seen it happen. I saw some guy crack his sternum with a bench press that he couldn't handle. So really, really be mindful of controlling the lowering of the bar. It is equally as important as when you're pressing the bar. Remember, there are three parts to a contraction, okay? There's concentric, when you're pressing that weight, or what we call shortening the muscle. So, for example, if you're doing a bicep curl, it's when you're raising that arm up. Then there's isometric, when you're squeezing the muscle in the mid position, right in between the raising and the lowering. So when you've hit that spot, you hold for a beat and really squeeze nice and tight. And then eccentric, when you're stretching the muscle or when you're lowering the weight back down. So remember that with the chest press, the concentric would be the pressing, the actual raising. The isometric would be that midpoint where you really squeeze the chest. Eccentric is when you're lowering the bar. Okay, focus on all three parts of that contraction. Don't throw either one of those away, especially with your press. And think about, as you're pressing that bar, think about actually trying to bend that bar in half. That's how much force I want you to be focusing on the bars. I want you to be thinking about literally bending that bar in half as you're pressing it upwards. Now, the next one, and so many people mess this up, it's a squat. Okay, you can really blow your knees out here. I want you to think about this. I need you to sit back and down as though you're sitting on a park bench or a chair or a toilet. I don't know. Sit back and down. Because so often what people will do is they'll tend to put their knees over their toes. They'll lean forward as opposed to sitting back and down between their legs. And this will blow out your knees. So you want to really try to line those knees up so that they're over your ankle in your bottom position. Your heels are pressed firmly into the ground and your quads, your thighs, are parallel to the ground. So practice this. Here's what I used to do with beginners. I used to have them sit down and stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down and stand up. And you want your feet a little bit wider than hip width apart, okay? And another tip for you, imagine that you're standing on a towel with your heels. And as you're pressing your body up to a standing position, I want some outside force on those heels. So you're thinking as if you could rip the towel with your heels by pressing your heels down and out. Even though your foot position doesn't move, it keeps your hips and your knees from caving inward, which a lot of people do from imbalances. In fact, if you notice in some of my workout videos, I have an imbalance in my hip and my left knee will always cave inward. So if you're thinking about that outside tension on the legs, it helps to stabilize your hips and it helps you from collapsing those knees.
Do you always do yours behind or do you ever do it in front?
I actually don't do a ton of weight when I do squat, but I actually like my weight in the front.
Yeah, me too.
Because it counterbalances you and it allows you to sit deeper into the squat because you've got weight in front of you, which is going to keep people are afraid to sit back because they think they're going to fall over.
Mm-hmm.
So you want your chest up and your eyes on the ceiling and you want to sit back and down. Literally between your legs, feet are hip width apart, outside tension on the heels, pressing through the heels. And you can have your weight, absolutely, you can have it behind you. I like it in front of me only because it gives me more confidence that with that weight in front of me, I can really lean back. Yeah. I'm counterbalanced, so I get a deeper range of motion.
Yep.
Now, let's go on to the next one. A deadlift, a stiff leg deadlift. Here's the deal. There is a slight bend in your knees. That is key. You maintain that angle. Your legs are almost straight, just a slight bend, and your legs do not move throughout the rest of the movement. You're hinging at the hips. And I want you to imagine that the weight you're holding is like a tray. You're going to serve somebody. So think of it like this. You bend over, you're hinging at the hips, and pretend you're going to shave your legs with that barbell. I want that barbell to drag along your shins. That's how close it should be to your body. So you can actually hinge your hips backwards and out behind you. Stick your butt out behind you. So it's like you're holding a tray and you wanted to close the door with your butt that you walk through it. You put your butt back and out. And you take that bar and you drag it along your shins as though you were going to shave your legs. As you raise up, squeeze your butt nice and tight together. Squeeze your butt. Remember, this one is actually much more glutes and hamstrings than it is lower back. Be sure that your back is flat and not round. So you go as far as you can until you cannot stretch any further with a flat back. The minute you feel that stretch and you can't go further, don't round your back and try to go deeper. Stop there and then come back up to a standing position. So your feet are hip width apart. You're holding your barbell, slight bend in the knees, then hinge at the hips with a flat back until you feel the stretch and you can't go further. Make sure your belly button's pulled into your spine and then stand up nice and tall and squeeze your hips. Okay. And don't forget, make sure you really push those hips back. Push your bum back as you're bending over because it helps to activate your hamstrings and your glutes. And that's what that straight leg deadlift is meant to work. Now, let's talk about rows and pull-ups for a second. Here's the mistake that so many people make. I want to make sure that your shoulder blades are back and down. Keep your shoulders as far away from your ears as possible. You're not meant to engage your traps here. So think about having an orange between your shoulder blades and squeezing that orange with your shoulder blades. Pull those shoulder blades in towards your spine. They should be adducted. It's called adduction. Abduction is if you were taking them to the outside of the body. Adduction is when they come into the inside of the body. So shoulders are back and down. Shoulder blades are pulled in. And as you row or you do your pull-up, I want you to think about sticking your chest out to meet either the bar or the cables. Think about that. So the shoulder blades come back, the chest goes out, shoulders are down. Really important. Next one, and this will be the last one, the lunge. Oh my goodness. This one, everybody messes this one up. Okay. Start with your feet hip width apart. I want a straight line from your head through your shoulders, through your hips, through your knees, through your ankles. As you step forward, okay, you're going to step forward. You're going to maintain the width between your two feet. Because a lot of people will step forward and slightly in front of their back leg. So they're now what's they're called standing on a straight line. They're, if I put a tightrope between your feet, you'd be standing on it. That tightrope should run between both feet. It's going to throw your balance off. So when you step forward, there's still width in your stride. You don't walk on a straight line in everyday life. You're taking a nice step forward and maintaining that hip width in your foot positioning. Okay? That's going to help with your balance. Now, the lunge is not a forward motion. It's an up and down motion. So what you want to do is think about dropping your back knee straight down. Don't hit the ground because we don't want to smash the heck out of your kneecap, but drop your back knee about an inch from the ground. And in your bottom position, both legs should be at nearly 90 degree angles and the front knee should be over the ankle. I don't want your front knee over your ankle and over your toe. That's a forward motion with the lunge when it's really an up-down motion, and that is going to blow out your knee. So the most important thing to remember about the lunge is maintaining that hip width in your feet, especially in that step forward, and making sure that it's your back knee goes down, not your front knee going forward, okay? Key. And in that bottom position, you should still have a completely straight line with your torso so that I could run a pole through the top of your head, down through your spine, through your hip, through your back knee, and into the ground. There should be no angle. It should be a completely straight line. Got it?
Got it.
Are we clear?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, no, those are, but you know what? Those are the real basics of weight training, you know?
I think that it's so important that you get that basic form right, because you're going to hurt yourself. And if you hurt yourself, then you're out for months and you're discouraged and you're bummed. And form is so important when it comes to exercise. There's no getting around it.
Because then you get to do those cool push-ups you do. What were they called? The Scorpions?
Oh, you are a fan.
No, I just remember you talking about that, and I like that.
Ah.
And I like to kind of do my own little version at the gym of the push-up, because I like to sometimes people look over.
Oh,
I like to pretend I'm a commando.
You show off.
Just a little bit with the push-up.
Are you doing the scorpion push-up?
No other thing.
The scorpion push-up, for those of you guys who are listening, don't try this unless you're very fit. You get in your push-up position, and you take the right leg, and you bring your right heel across your body. So behind you, you curl your leg and you pull your heel back towards your left shoulder blade, like a scorpion tail going behind you and over.
I think it's kind of how I do it.
You think? What do you mean you think it's how you do it?
Well,
it's not up for debate.
Well, I don't know if I quite do it like you do. I mean, you know how to do it, but I like to, you know, try to, I do different kinds of things.
Like what?
I do like this commando thing.
What do you mean, like a commando thing?
Like I get down like I'm a commando.
I get down. What do you mean you
get
down?
I get down like...
You're actually going to get down?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
I get down like this.
She's on the floor.
And then I do push-ups like that. And
you're doing push-ups in a spread eagle position?
Yeah, like that.
Why? Well, why are you doing that?
That's very impressive.
For who?
For the people that watch.
No, I think it's just pornographic. Jake, is it me?
I couldn't see.
Because you've averted your eyes.
Pornographic.
Yes, it is. What part of a scorpion push-ups and spread your legs as far apart as possible?
You know.
I'm just saying. You call that a commando push-up because people do that with a one-arm push-up to widen their base, but you got both hands on the floor.
Well, because I'm not strong.
What are you doing?
I don't think it's pornographic. All right. It's been a long winter.
Get accosted at the gym locker room, it's because people are going to say you were asking for it. And let me tell you, I think you are.
Oh, my God. All right.
Attention seeking much?
Yes, I guess so. All right. I didn't know it was pornographic. Oh, you have
How
somebody-
did you not know?
Well, I
How
just...
How did you not know? I don't think those legs could get any farther apart.
You do some pretty
no,
risque
I don't.
Moves. Yes, you do. And you wear some pretty risque outfits in some of your DVDs.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So...
Fine. Let's move on.
Let's mark that down. One up for Janice on that one. Okay, so now you have some info to give out from last week's show.
Yes, I do. Okay, so guess what? Because we're going into the holiday season, I got GoDaddy to do a giveaway for us. So here's the deal, you guys. We did this once, I guess, a year ago, and yep. Everyone loved it. All right, hang on. I've got my little details here. You have... until December 31st.
Of this year.
Of this year, 2011. And the first 10,000 people are going to get it. So don't delay, because actually I think they were gone before the week was even up the last time we did it. It's a $1 domain. So you get the domain for $1 for a year. And then after 1 year, the renewal price is the regular price, which I think is $10. But here's the deal. When I sign up for a domain, I get that domain every which way possible. It's like Empowered Media Productions, Empowered Media Print, Empowered Media this, Empowered Media that, Empowered Media. Like, you get every possible domain for your company you want to cover. Well, I do, because of trademark issues. So if now's the time that you want to, if you're thinking about starting a business, or you need a URL, or you need a .com, or you want to, you know, whatever it might be, $1 domains, I'd jump on it quick. So remember, it's only the first 10,000 people. And to get the deal, you go to GoDaddy.com and you search the domain you'd like. And then at the checkout, you've got to enter this code, GETFIT, and then the discount will be applied. There's no spaces, just GETFIT all together. GETFIT, $1 domain. I don't know, I'd hurry. If you wanted, I'd hurry, because again, the last time it was gone quick, and they don't give this to me very often. So I feel like I got away with something.
No, I think it's good. It's good for a buck.
Right.
Can't beat a buck.
Nope.
All right, we got to take a break, and then we're going to come back and take some calls. I'm going to practice my pornographic push-up.
Please don't.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no.
So we are back, and Kara is waiting to talk to you.
Oh, Kara, what's going on?
Hi. I love you, so I'm really nervous.
Aw. Well, thank you. Don't be nervous. I can't hurt you through the microphone. I've tried to hurt people, but it's actually physically impossible. Yes. So you're totally safe. Don't stress.
Okay, Kara. You're okay.
Okay. Well, a few weeks ago, I heard your podcast, and you were saying about how when you sometimes look through Twitter, you can see like 100 nice comments, and then the one negative one will keep you up all night.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I called in because I actually feel the need to like defend people, and especially on yours. Like, I'll go through and look for those negative ones and like post back, leave her alone, you know? I do that all the time to your thing, and I do it to everyone. Like, if I just kind of look for an underdog all the time to defend, but when it comes to me, I don't, like, I could care less. I'm not easy to offend. I'm always kind of slamming on myself, actually, and I was the underdog as a kid, but somehow it doesn't, I got, like, tough to that, I guess, with myself.
Okay.
And I think I take things out. I hurt myself more than anyone does now, probably. But I always look for other people to defend and, like, help. And I don't know.
Okay.
It kind of made me think of that when you were saying that.
So then, all right, so here's my question for you. What is your particular question? You're telling me about a behavior, and I hear you, but what is your question? And what that's going to tell me is what you want to change.
I just don't. I kind of want to hate myself less, I guess.
Kind of want to hate yourself less. And you're calling me to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay, sweetie. I mean, if I would give anything if I could fix that problem for you in a five minute cures by Jillian Michaels. I'd be a very rich woman. Here's what I'm going to give you, the broad strokes of a roadmap. Number one, for you to hate yourself, it's going to imply that certain things have occurred in your background that you internalized. So certain projections or abuses were put upon you. It could have been a parent. It could have been various family members. It could have been a dynamic within your family. It could have been a school. It could be a host of things. But certain projections of other individuals, scenarios, life events were put upon you that you personalized and you internalized. And you just told me that you felt bullied as a kid and you felt picked on as a kid. So that's a pretty good indication that you're thinking, if they're picking on me and they're bullying me, I must be worthless. These things must be true. And you internalize them as being true. And now you're telling me that you've carried the voice of the bullying and the abuse into your adult life by bullying yourself and by being your worst bully. Is it conceivable? And I'm a lot of times when I talk to people in this way, I go off of something, a gut feeling, right? And it's going to tell me if I'm on track or if I'm off track. So this is a gut feeling and I could very well be way off base. So just tell me. But when you're beating yourself up or bullying yourself, so to speak, do you think you do it in a way to take away the power of another? So people will sometimes go, they'll make fat jokes about themselves so that no one else can call them fat first and hurt their feelings. Or,
yes.
Okay.
That's what I started doing as a kid. That's what I was getting made fun of for. My school experience sounds exactly like what you describe in some of your books and stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, the animal noises and all that. And I grew up that way. And I remember the day when I realized if I did it first, they all just kind of looked at me like, whoa, and they didn't do it.
Right. Okay, those days are over. Uh-huh. So in actuality, there was a different solution to that scenario. You went down one path, and I've been down that path before, and I've engaged in that path with other things in life. And it's the same way that I believe the gay community will say, like, hey, homo, or hey, fag, or hey, this, or hey, that, because I've been there, and I know that dialogue. And I know it's like, it's the way of not allowing anybody else to call you those names. It's the same way I think the African-American community has taken back the N-word, which I won't even dare touch with a 10-foot pole. But it's like they were like, no one's going to call us this. We're going to make this word our own and we're going to redefine it because it was so painful. And then people do that with obesity by making fat jokes and making it funny and calling themselves fat. But there were two paths for you to go down, okay? There was that one, and I've been down that path, and there are times in my life with certain things that I've struggled with that I still do it. But then, you know, I was fortunate enough to have gotten into martial arts, right? Mm-hmm. And the experience of martial arts empowered me, and it gave me accomplishments that I was proud of. And so when I walked into school and I remember the day, and if you've read my books, you may be familiar with this. I had a blue belt test. So I was really only in martial arts for, gosh, I don't know, maybe not even a year, because it goes yellow belt, blue belt in my style. It was yellow belt, blue belt, second degree blue, third degree blue. So it was only my second belt, I think, or it could have been blue belt to second. I don't know. It was soon. It was like a year into my martial arts. And I had to break two boards with a sidekick. And I remember thinking I was going to break my foot. There was no way I was going to be able to do it. That my teacher was insane. And I was just terrorized. Nevertheless, I broke the two boards. And I walked into school the next day, and I felt indestructible, undefeatable. Like I could do anything and take on anything. And that day, I went from loser to loner. I was already a loner, but the loser part, the picking on me, the bullying me, stopped. I still didn't have any friends, and I became, and I definitely, I think is this is why I still have identified more with the underdog, like what you're talking about, and the fringe of society. Like, I'm never the girl that hangs around with a popular crowd, you know, obviously. But but my point is, no one picked on me ever again. And when I learned how to respect myself, and I did, in fact, respect and value myself, nobody would dare disrespect me. But when you disrespect yourself or you downplay yourself, you don't care about yourself, you send that message to others that you're a doormat, that they can walk over you, that you don't have value. So I know that you, it's this very elaborate, intricate defense mechanism that had sort of worked for you. In other words, like, it stopped the overt abuse, but then all you did was internalize the abuse, and it's become systemic. So it really hasn't worked for you. In fact, it's only hurt you. The goal here is for you. I hate to say this, buddy, but you sound like somebody that could really benefit from counseling. And I tell you this because I've been in counseling my whole life, and I find it to be so incredibly beneficial. We trip ourselves up. We become our own worst enemy. We take these things from our past, and instead of allowing ourselves to grow and learn and become stronger, in so many ways, these patterns can repeat and dramatically impair the happiness of our future and our current reality. And that's what you're doing now. So what I would recommend is you get into some counseling and you look at where the bullying came from. And, you know, why you were an overweight kid to begin with, because I have my reasons, and I would be darn sure that you probably have yours.
Yeah.
And then you start to learn that the bullying and the abuses were never about you. They were always about the other person's insecurities and issues. And when you can give that back and put yourself in that other person's shoes and understand their weaknesses and their insecurities, and this is going to sound so strange, but forgive them, it's extremely empowering, because it helps you realize it wasn't your shortcomings, it wasn't your lack of, it was theirs that they couldn't handle, and they projected into the world. And then you start to take steps, actual steps, and this part I can help you with, even though it's kind of a Band-Aid. You got to do both of these things simultaneously. Stop with the negative self-talk. Stop with the self-bullying. Stop saying crappy things to yourself, doing crappy things to yourself, negating yourself, putting yourself down, allowing yourself to be a doormat. Start setting boundaries. Start communicating your needs. Start using the word no. Start doing things right now in this very moment that are nurturing for yourself, that are positive, that are life-affirming, that are caretaking. Be the parent that you always wanted to yourself. Be that person, that hero that you always wished had loved you and protected you and affirmed you and validated you for you, not others, you. And that's what people like you do. I know, because I've done it. You're that perfect parent for everybody else, but you still feel hollow inside and empty inside. And then no matter what anyone tries to give you, it's never going to be enough to fill that void. Because the only person that can fill that void is you. So instead of going on my Twitter and defending me, I'm a big girl. Don't you worry about me. I will handle it myself. I got it. You take that energy and put it into a walk around the block, reading a book, journaling, meditating, a yoga class, a bubble bath, a manicure, pedicure, a hobby, something that makes you feel good. Take all that energy that you pour into other people. Okay. And I know you're like, this gives me value. I save everybody else. No, it devalues you. It devalues you. Start practicing pouring that energy into you. Okay. That's the number one tip I can give you right now that will actually help in the moment. And I highly recommend exploring counseling so you can deal with some of this deeper stuff that lies underneath that pervasive lack of self-worth.
Okay. I actually just recently started that.
Good. How's it going?
Really recent. Good. I love it. I actually love it so far.
Excellent. Keep that up. Do more of that. And when you want to quit and it gets boring and you hate your therapist and you dread going, that's really when you need to stay.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, sweetheart. Try doing what I told you, though, starting today.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me talk to you.
Oh, my gosh. It's my pleasure. Thank you for calling.
I will download the podcast, listen to everything again, and do what you said.
Atta girl.
Good.
That's what I want to hear. And I'll see you on Twitter.
Okay.
We'll keep it positive, though.
All right.
We got vigilante Twitter people now. Have a great day, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Bye, bye. Karen.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and take one more call.
Okay.
Okay, we are back, and and Stephanie is waiting to talk
to you.
I'm
ready. Stephanie, what's going on?
Hi, Jillian. I love you to bits.
So, oh, thank here's you. My time. Yes.
So this past June, I broke my foot. I wasn't diagnosed correctly, so my healing has been delayed a couple of months. I've been doing physical therapy since September.
Okay.
And I finally got the go-ahead to work out. The only thing I cannot do is run yet because of pounding. So since June, I've gained 10 pounds. And I was already 25 pounds overweight from the last couple of years. But growing up, and even in college, I was always skinny and fit. So my question is, should I, one, start a diet regimen and lose some weight first to get me a strong jump start? Or should I do a combined diet and workout plan to lose the weight?
Combined diet and workout plan, hands down. There's, you know, people love the concept of a jump start. I'm not going to kid you. It's no matter what product I do, what about a jump start, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, you know, that idea of a jump start, that's fine. And in fact, I just did a 90-day weight loss plan, and they were like, well, we want to, what can we jump start? And I was just like, oh, for goodness sake. All right, well, we can change the diet week one to make it a little more strict so it's a, you know, jump start. You're going to lose a little more weight. But the reality is I did not have them not work out, despite the fact that I made the first week's diet more severe and more strict. So try to abandon the concept of a jump start and really just think that you're in this thing for as long as it's going to take. And if you lose 2 pounds a week, that's okay. If you have a week where you plateau, that's okay. If you have a great week, well, awesome and God bless. So get rid of that whole, I want that quick, I want that jump start. I get it. And believe me, I make a ton of products so that people get what they want. But from a frame of mind that I want you to approach this, it should be one of, you're in this no matter how long it takes. And that means start eating right and start moving your body now. Period.
And that's the thing, it's that mental, because I'm go big or go home. So if I have a chip, I'm like, oh, I'm done. I'm having the whole bag.
No, that is the worst. That is the worst way to not only be with your fitness, but it's the worst way to be in your life. And part of that, let's just talk about fitness for a second. There is no all or nothing. Life is not black or white. Life is gray. So when you go 3 weeks without a bite of sugar, right? And then you have a candy bar and it's, oh my gosh, I'm such a failure. I blew it. I screwed up. And then you just, you know, then that's it. You're off the wagon. It's over. You know, you've lost everything and a binge begins. And I use this analogy and I've said it many times and maybe you've heard it. You're in your car, you're tootling down the street, right? You've now got
tires.
Oh, right, dude. You got a flat tire. What are you going to do? Are you going to get out of the car and slash the other three tires? No.
Right.
You're going to patch your flat and you're going to move on. So finding a place of balance with your regimen is really key, because if you're going all or nothing, you're setting yourself up to fail. going all the way and not having any sweets and hitting the gym every single day, that's not a sustainable way of life. And then going crazy and binging and eating an entire bag of chips, well, that's not healthy. It's going to make you feel like crap, and that's not a sustainable way of life. So really finding that middle ground of balance is key to success. The foundation for your success is built on the middle ground. And that means having the knowledge and the information so you can make informed choices. I eat sugar every single day. Every day. I probably have 200 to 300 calories of sugar every day. In fact, I just got up to make myself a little cup of tea, and there are some really tasty cookies back there, Jake, I have to say.
I saw you come back with a little handful. Quite well hidden, I might add. You had the hand turned the other way.
Well, I didn't want to share any with you because they were the last ones, but I did bring you one of those little chocolates they had back there.
Well, it's not here now.
No, it is. It's right there.
Oh.
Jake was bogarting them.
Okay.
But my point is this. I know how many calories are in those cookies, and I know how many calories I'm going to allot to sugar that day. I know how many calories my body is burning. I know these things. Once you know the number, you know the number. So,
and that's the thing. I've done those calculations and everything, but I'm an extremist. I think where a lot of people are like, okay, I'm going to work out in the morning and work out after work and work out this. And,
no.
And then
no.
I don't do anything because I'm so overwhelmed.
Yes.
So I just need to take
no.
back.
You need to just go, all right, I'm going to start out here. I'm going to work out 4 times a week for 30 minutes. And I'm going to eat 1,400 calories a day. And here, let's take all the, for someone like you, eat whatever you want, 1,400 calories of it. Just for now. Okay, this permission is going to be really good for you. So I prefer you don't eat Twinkies, obviously. I prefer you have, organic dark chocolate instead. But nevertheless, you got 1,400 calories. Eat whatever you want of them and make your green vegetables free. You can eat as many green vegetables as you want. Okay, don't have alcohol for dinner, though, as Janice had mentioned in a recent segment that we did. That's a bad idea. I'm going to put my foot down on that one. But other than that, you follow those simple guidelines, okay? Hit the gym.
And doing like your RIP and 30 or Shred or your any of your DVDs.
Yeah, although I don't know about that with the foot right now. The Ripped and 30 is pretty aggressive. So talk to your doctor about maybe Yoga Meltdown would be a good one.
Okay,
do that one instead. Talk to your doctor. I don't want you jumping around on a broken foot, for goodness sake. But you know what you could do. Get on the elliptical incline walk. That's the best thing you can do. Because there's no
it's
pounding.
35 pounds. It's not these biggest loser numbers. It's 200 pounds.
No. You need.
I feel like it's so far away.
Sweetie.
I feel like I blew up. I know.
I want you to stop judging, stop thinking, and just act in the way that I'm telling you to. Because your all or nothing mentality is going to set you up to fail. And when you look at the world in that way, it's also really a dangerous point of view. So if you're approaching a situation and this is all bad, no, this is all good, this is all bad, this is all good, that's not the way the world is. No matter how flat you squish a pancake, it still has two sides. There's still good and bad to everything. There's still a middle ground for everything. And often when we get in that very all or nothing mentality, it has to do with helping us avoid disappointment, believe it or not. Because if something is all bad, then we never lost anything to begin with. It's all bad. We're off the wagon. There's no sacrifice. There's no deprivation. You're off the wagon. It's all shot. It is what it is. You throw in the towel. But then if something's all good, you never have to deal with them disappointing you, because if it's all good, there's nothing to make you sad, nothing to let you down, nothing to disappoint you. Living in that really sort of gray, ambiguous space is hard for people. As we like to put things in our neat little box, and we like to label them, and we like to identify ourselves with the external world, and we build our lives on this way of thought, and when things change or shift up, it shakes us, we don't know who we are, we don't know what we believe anymore, and everything's chaos. But being able to live in a very fluid place with an open mind and find balance, that's going to be the key to success in every single aspect of your life, particularly your health.
No, you're right. It's about balance.
No, just do what I say, though. Don't think about it.
No,
just,
I won't.
Because she's like this. It's about balance. I'm going to the gym in 5 minutes, and then I'm going to have watermelon and cucumber for dinner. And then I'm like, I'm going to give myself a coffee enema because I read that in a magazine. So just no.
No, you're absolutely right. No, but this, you're right. I have to do what you're saying for me to do, because that extreme mentality has me 35 pounds heavier. and I haven't lost any of the weight. And I can't, like, I do my little Excel spreadsheets on my workouts, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this in the morning. And it's not working for me, because then I get overwhelmed about balance. And I already have a busy schedule. I can't overwhelm myself. I have to just do it and not think about it and eat healthier and not maybe eat at restaurants as much as I am. Because I know what's going in there.
Little things.
I just have a better balance.
Exactly. I just want you to focus on two things. Just learn, get your five breakfasts that you eat, your five dinners that you eat, your five lunches that you eat. Because to be honest, we are creatures of habit. I have the same thing for breakfast. Same three or four things. I have the same three or four things for dinner. I have the same three or four things for lunch. I'm telling you, and I bet you do too. So once you know the calorie counts in each one of those meals, there's only about 15 meals you're going to need to figure out. Then you just mix and match and you make it 1400 calories. You read labels, get a calorie counting app on your phone, bring a pocket calorie counter with you. If you don't have a phone that has apps, for goodness sake. And
no, I have that app and it works great because it really, you realize how much calories are in cheese.
All right. Well, there you go. So that's your marching orders. Four times a week, 30 minutes. Make it whatever you want to make it right now, especially that it's safe for your foot. Just make sure you go and make it fun and move your body and eat 1,400 calories. Green vegetables are free. And that's it. Okay. That's all I want you to do.
But not fruit. Not that much fruit, though. Because
did I say that? Did I say that?
No.
Did I say that? What?
Oh, my God.
Did I say it?
No,
I don't. You see her? She's trying to find. No. You do. No. No. No.
Okay.
1,400 calories or whatever. I'm just going to say whatever you want right now. Okay?
No, 1,400.
Fruit is okay.
Come to Chicago and do that spinning class again. My foot was really bad when you came in last time. I don't know.
I taught a class at Flywheel, this really cool spin studio that opened up. I think they're going to open one in Atlanta, and I was going to do that. Not that I think you should fly into Atlanta. I will work on it. You just do what I say in the meantime. That's all I need you to do right now. Okay?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love you guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Do what I say.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, Stephanie.
You think she's going to do what I say?
Well, you couldn't have reiterated that anymore.
Because you know she's going to start thinking around it and about it and over it and under it and try to improve upon it. And then before you know, she's going to be right back into that pendulum swing again. I wish people would just do what I say. I swear to God, I know everything, for goodness sakes.
I know. Hey,
what?
You got to get going. You got to, don't you have to hit the slopes? Aren't you sloping this weekend?
Is it Thanksgiving?
It is. Yeah.
Let's just not lie. We record these a little bit earlier than you might listen to them. Is it Thanksgiving?
That was my subtle hint going.
That it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Is it Thanksgiving?
Thanks for making that so
well, no, I mean, why do we lie anymore? I mean, my God, Janice, just come out with it. All right. Recorded this like 3 weeks ago. Okay. I got to go skiing. Happy Thanksgiving. Jeez.
It's not that long ago. No, I don't even know what the hell day it is. You know, that's my job, is to keep you...
Pretend to lie?
Yes.
Professional liar.
My job is here to help you lie. That is what my job is. Now say happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Gotta hit the slopes. Peace.
You see it all around you. Good love is gone bad. And usually it's too late when you realize what you have.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.